Blog Talk Radio.
We are poor little lambs who have lost our way. Ba, ba, ba.
This is TwoBlackSheepRadio.com with Bob Granger and Dave Wilkerson. We're being a black sheep. It's a good thing. You never know what they're going to say.
Well, good evening, everyone. Once again, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Two Black Sheep Radio. Tonight, brought to you live from the thriving metropolis of Afton, New York. This is Bob Granger, everyone, co-host of Black Sheep Radio, and our founding father, Mr. Dave Wilkerson, took his good friend Tim Bolin up on the fun thought of taking a nice long cruise. And so right now, he is enjoying himself. He just texted a while ago. Every now and then I get a text from him, and he's enjoying himself at a bar in Belize right now. I'm hoping he's able to stay on the bar stool. But fortunately for all of us, we are able to have the host of the America IC as our co-host tonight with me. That's Charlie Meltzner. Charlie, on the line.
Oh, yeah, I'm on, buddy. I'm here. How are you?
I'm doing terrific, Charlie. How's your week been, man?
You know, it's been good. Real, real exciting. You know, Bob, when you get one of those weeks, it just rejuvenates you and gets you going. That's how I feel right now. And I was giggling and chuckling a little bit, laughing, thinking about Dave and Bob and them having a good time, and Tim and him having a good time down there. And then right when you said that, I spilled my water on the counter there, and I looked at the water and I said, "That's probably what Dave looks like right now—a puddle of water laying somewhere."
I wouldn't be a bit surprised, I'll tell you. You know, isn't it kind of nice to be on a show without Dave because we don't have to worry about the mute button tonight?
Yeah, we don't have to worry about what he's going to do or say on it because he likes to keep us under control. You know what I mean? For somebody who's really, really be out there, he really likes to control us, and there's really nothing he can do now. I love it.
I know. It is tremendous, you know. Yeah. In fact, when he left, you know, we thought everything was under control. I don't know. Ezekiel has been kind of amongst the missing. And so I'm recovering from one certain thing that's happened a lot this week, Charlie, and that's the onslaught of texts, emails, and voicemails on where the heck is our morning shows this week.
I mean, I did get some calls about that, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I had a locked and loaded show this week of stupidity versus ignorance, and I knew that you would have had a great one. I think that we have it straightened out, though, so Blended with Tom and Annie is a go for tomorrow live.
Oh, good.
I think that's a good thing. But anyway, I'm looking forward to tonight's show. It's different without Dave because, you know, I have to say something complimentary to Dave. So since this isn't being recorded, you know, I don't have to worry about him ever hearing this, but he is probably one of the most brilliant guys I've ever met, and I love him to death. He's the best, and I hope he's having the time of his life because, you know, with his health issues and that, he really deserves it.
Yeah, I agree. If he can get the time and to really get to relax and take it easy, I agree 100%. And you are right. I wouldn't say it either if he could hear it and not through his face, but he's one smart fellow, let me tell you. I remember the first time I met him and just the way he carries himself and the things we talked about. And I like to talk business and talk shop. You know, you and I, we do that a lot. And I listened to some of the things he said and some of his experiences and even more on the radio show. It's amazing what he's accomplished and what he's done. But once again, I'm glad he can't hear us right now and he doesn't know what we're saying. So we'll keep that between us and whoever else is on listening right now. Don't tell him we said that.
You know, that's true. It's always nice having a good friend, just a close friend like Dave that's honest, that you don't have to worry about your back. You know that he's going to tell you what he thinks, whether you like it or not. And that's the best kind of friend that you can have, you know?
Yeah, truth. I agree. And it's nice. So I am glad for him, too. But I'll tell you the truth, he's away, and one of the nice things about him being away is we don't talk to him as much, too, so I kind of like that as well, that he's kind of out of reach a little bit. Maybe Tim can deal with some of the stuff with him, but, you know, I did have a real cool week this week. It was a lot of fun. We had a great week at the Marina. This weather, how about it, right?
Oh,
upstate New York. Well, I'm mid-state New York, I must say. I mean, I'm not upstate like you, but man, oh, man, this weather. My guys are like, you know, we pulled the last couple of boats out and shrink-wrapped them and put them away, and they're like, they're loving it, you know, no cold, no snow. I mean, that's, and I'm loving it for my apartment buildings, no oil and no electricity for the heat right now, saving money, you know, that's a big deal, right?
You're supposed to have mid-60s this weekend, too. I know we're supposed to be in 60s.
Yeah, absolutely amazing, and I had a big week. I was at a big, big function for my network marketing company and had a lot of people at that and had a big wait, a lot of people join my business. So it's been exciting. But let's get to you had a great topic to talk about tonight, so let's get on with it. Let's talk about it, pal.
It's funny, Charlie, that when Dave and I started, you know, like over a year ago, started talking about the show, one of the things we said, we would never make it a political or a religious-based show.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, everybody has a right to their own opinion, but this was a little bit different. First of all, we don't have to worry about Dave. So, but anyway, so when you and I talked about it, what we both feel is the unfortunate commercialization of Christmas. And the reason we're talking about it now is because it's a couple of weeks before Christmas, and so there might be a couple points that we mentioned tonight that people say, hey, that sounds like a good idea. But the way I started boycotting the commercialization of Christmas, Charlie, and I'd like to know your opinion about this. I started my boycotting of the commercialization of Christmas by never going to Starbucks again. I mean, any CEO that'll say, my employees can't say Merry Christmas, they can only say Happy Holidays because I don't want to offend one out of 10,000 people. Give me a break. You know, I can find coffee, good coffee, at other places. I'll never set foot into a Starbucks again. And that's, you know, I'm not saying I'm correct or incorrect. That's just the way I started my Christmas season. I thought it was a nice way to start my boycotting of the commercialization of Christmas. What do you think?
I love it. I love it. First, it's your belief. You know what I mean? It's what you want to do. It's what you talk about. And with all this political correctness in the world, the craziness that goes on right now, we lost track of the basics, the right we have to express our emotions and our feelings and not have it to be attacking because we're attacking something that's being so commercialized like Christmas, like we're talking about here. I love the idea. You know, I saw a sign someone had made up. And I swore I was going to do it, and I tell you the truth, I'm a little down that I didn't do it now, but maybe I'll jump to it and get it done. But a business owner got a sign, and he put it on the door, and it said, if you don't want to hear the words Merry Christmas, don't come in this store. He said, we say Merry Christmas. That's what he said. We say Merry Christmas, and if you don't want to hear Merry Christmas, then don't come in the store. That was his way back on it. You know, I mean, not Happy Holidays. It's Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
And if you celebrate something else, God bless you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I love that. It's too bad you didn't take a picture on that and post it all over Facebook. You know, the interesting thing is, and in fact, I don't know if you've ever seen Charlie Brown Christmas, you know, with your children, but
sure.
Lucy Van Pelt had it, and she nailed it. She said, we all know that Christmas is a big commercial racket run by Eastern, syndicates. Yeah, I just love the way, you know, that she said that because, unfortunately, you know, it has become so completely different, especially at my age. I'm older. I mean, I can look back years and years and years ago and seen the transformation. I'll bet, Charlie, even at your young age, with your young children, you've already seen the transformation.
Yeah, you know, the simplest way I tell people how I look at it, because isn't, you know, when we talked about this topic, you know, my notes for my morning show that we could get on with were right around the same lines. That's what I thought was so funny. I had talked about what it was about. I was going to talk about what was the holiday about, and it wasn't about what this commercialization of it, and what does that mean? And it just doesn't mean trying to sell off of it. It just means the idea of how you promote your business, or people push the idea of Christmas to generate more income with it. But I have to tell you, I noticed from years how it's changed. Businesses, what it used to be, I'll give you an idea. My town isn't huge, Mayapack, Carmel area. when I was a kid, my dad used to take our pickup truck, right? And we would go to the Chamber of Commerce's storage thing, and we would pick up the green and white and red lit up Christmas trees that would hang on the telephone pole, and you'd plug them into an outlet, right? And the town wouldn't pay to do it. Nobody else did it. So my dad would say, come on, Charles, we would get a ladder, a 6-foot-tall ladder. We'd put it in the bed of the pickup truck and strap it down, and then we'd go pick up all these metal Christmas trees that would hang on the telephone poles, and he would ride down the road, and I would stay in the bed, and we would stop, and I would get up on the ladder, and I would hang them up, and I would put them on the thing. Now, my dad did it because he wanted to just make it look nice. He wanted to have the Christmas spirit in our area. He wanted Manpack and Carmel just to be a beautiful idea, you know, to look beautiful. Maybe more people would follow suit and do things just because it was that time of the year and it was the Christmas spirit. See, and nowadays, and you know what you see? You see people doing things to generate income off the idea of it being the holidays and Christmas. It's a different feel when someone wants to decorate their place to look nice as opposed to someone wants to decorate to draw people in so that they'll spend money. I'm not saying that's a bad thing to do it, but you get what I'm saying? The difference here, they're not doing it because they love the look of it or how it makes people feel. They've got another motive, you know what I mean?
Absolutely, Charlie. I agree with you. I mean, unfortunately, Christmas today is celebrated today almost as a sales frenzy, you know, and not as the most important birth in history, which, in my opinion, it is, and, in fact, in opinions of billions in the world,
right?
You know, that's the most important birth in all of history.
Sure is, yep.
So when you start thinking about that, you know, I mean, for centuries, I mean, you think about the old days. You know, people celebrated Christmas by feeding the hungry, you know, providing clothes to the poor,
mm-hmm.
giving a few key special gifts. Most special gifts, by the way, went to ministers, went to pastors, went to needy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they it was a tremendous celebration, but it remained simple because everybody was focused on the greatest birth in history, and it's
sure.
changed. It's completely changed. That's the thing that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's definitely turned around. It's not about the birth. It's not about the Lord our Savior Jesus Christ. It's not about any of that right now. And no matter what you say, you agree. That's what it is. It is really. That's what it came about. And now it is. It's more about Christmas idea, not the spirit of Christmas and why we're doing it and what's happening and giving to others and taking a minute to recognize. And to look for people that are needy and to do things and to spread joy between one another. That's what really the whole thing is about, is that it's about we're celebrating a birth, like you said, and then we're going ahead and we're gonna work to make sure that the world's a better place. And I love that idea. You know, but real quick before I forget, I did look at Facebook earlier, and one of my friends down in New Jersey, a fellow named Dave Dempsey, I noticed what he posted on his timeline, and this is a feel-good one, bud. You know, he's got a wonderful wife and a bunch of kids, and he posted up that if anybody was struggling and needed a Christmas tree, he would gladly go and buy them one tomorrow so that they had one for their family. And he said the only thing he asked is that when they were in a position to be able to do the same, that they could do it for someone else in the future. And
wow.
I thought, what a nice thing to be able to do. Isn't that cool?
Now, that is what Christmas is about.
Yeah, yeah. Bad idea right there, and he's a great guy, and that's just one of the things, but what a way to set a mood, and, you know, he knows he's doing it for the right reasons, you know, he's being just a good guy, no benefit to him other than that's the right thing to do, but setting something in motion to show people, and it certainly ticked with me. I said, that was just great, but I wanted to share that, so I'm sure I didn't forget that.
I love that.
Yeah.
In fact, unfortunately, I think, and give me your opinion on this too, Charlie. You know, the commercialization of Christmas is also, I don't know if it's, you know, just corporate greed or just taking advantage of society today or whatever it is, but I think it's compounded right down to the youth today with young children for birthdays. As an example,
mm-hmm.
when you were 2, Charlie, 3, 4, can you remember any of your birthday parties?
Nah, it's not something I can remember now.
No, no one can.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the meantime, I wind up going to these birthday parties for 2- and 3- and 4-year-olds where it's this big extravaganza, gifts all over the place, where, you know, I'm for birthday parties. I think that's a great celebration. But make it a celebration just by the camaraderie, not gifts, not things, because we're teaching immediate gratification. And that, I think that's come over the years from the commercialization of Christmas. Now, I could be 100% wrong, but good heavens, it is certainly commercialized now.
It is, like you said about quoting from Charlie Brown, it is a machine that gets up and runs like they do with so many seasons and holidays and things, how they turn it into something to do that. And that's corporate America so much that they get you off base with what you're doing. That's their job, is to try to persuade you, convince you, trick you into something. And we lose that. You know, I think about midnight mass, you know, going to church. Remember what that's like, you know, the feeling when you go there and to be a part of that. That's another thing that Christmas is about, to be a part of and to be something with it. Not what you, like you said, it's, you know, we're turning it into something else. And it is disturbing. It's just, how do you fight against it? I guess one way is not buying from Starbucks. That's one way, right? I love that idea.
I think so. You know, Charlie, when I started thinking, when we started to think about the commercialization of Christmas, obviously at my million years old, I started thinking about Christmases when I was little, that I could kind of remember a little bit. And when you get back that far, you know, it's a little bit shaky, but I started thinking about how my parents treated it. And I can remember one of the first, and we always, you know, we could ask for things, you know, for Christmas, what would you like for Christmas? And there was always the key component. So I remember the one year I asked for a Roy Rogers watch. Now, almost everybody listening to this don't even know who Roy Rogers is. You might want to.
I do.
Okay, you know. But anyway, I really wanted a Roy Rogers watch. And this is back when they were, you know, like, I mean, I wish I had the thing now. It'd probably be worth thousands. But but I got it. I was so excited. And guess what else I got? Socks and underwear. That's how it
right.
was. You know, so the next year, I wanted a Mattel electric football game.
I remember those too.
I can't believe it. You probably saw it on the internet someplace. But anyway.
No. I'm telling you, Bob. I'm not as young as you think. I'm telling you. I remember that. Beep, 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 beep. Yeah, I remember.
It was the greatest game, and I got that. I was elated. Still remember playing that and playing that and playing that with my dad, you know. And it was so much fun. But I got the Mattel electrical football game, and I got socks and underwear. And the next year, I asked for a pellet pistol BB gun, you know, a CO2 shot, right? Because I was getting a little bit older. I was about 11. And I got that along with socks and underwear. I mean, it was that simple gift, and that's all I needed. That's all was warranted, and it's so different today. I mean, back when I was young, Charlie, and maybe even when you were young, Christmas was more of a pure holiday. You know, it was full of wonder and excitement. Even when we were young, Santa, you know, I just found out a few years ago that his sleigh was actually powered by a jet engine. I saw that on the movie Elf, you know. But back then it was free from the capitalistic corruption that's there now. I remember back in the old days, you never got your Christmas tree until about 2 weeks. At the soonest before Christmas, because that just wasn't right. Now people have their Christmas tree about September.
Yeah, it does get crazy. And you know, I can see people decorating and getting ready early when they're excited about feeling that way for the time of the, you know, for the month of December, for feeling excited about it. I could see people doing that, you know, to do it. But my problem is when you see them doing it for the wrong reasons, like when you go to stores and stuff and they're pushing the holiday, the next holiday that's coming up and the next holiday, and they're churning through you and, you know, just trying to get you to buy based off of this, and this as soon as you can, and to do stuff. That's the part. I'm not saying, you know, everybody's not entitled to sell and to work off of it, but heck, it's just like that thing where, you know, with people working on Thanksgiving. I mean, where does that come from? And how much shopping are they going to do on Christmas? And how much time are they going to spend with their family as opposed to that, or not be with their family? I mean, it doesn't last forever. You know that. And it's just what are people turning it into is 100% right. I remember the same thing about getting gifts and presents. You had that one thing you had to have. And then our stockings always had toothbrushes, toothpaste, socks, underwear. So we always got same thing, and then we got something special. If we were good, we got it. You know, that's kind of what it was. Well, and now it's changed, right?
Yeah, one of the things that we still do, my family does, is that right around Christmas time, we get to our closets. And there's so many things you don't wear, and we get boxes of clothes. And I came nice, I mean, decent quality clothes, great jackets. I remember one year, this one guy that used to do some work for me that was basically homeless, you know, I used to find odd jobs for him. We gave him boxes of my son's clothes because he was about 5'8", and it was perfect for, you know, and good stuff. And we were so excited. I remember one year, my middle son took an old bike, and this is back when he was a kid, you know, back in in junior high school, and took an old bike, got some tires, put some good tires on it, sanded it, painted it, and we got it to a church to give to a little kid that didn't have a bike. You know, that's what Christmas is.
Yeah, I agree. We have some families local, and you know Frank Nagel, what a caring, wonderful guy he is, and Frank does that kind of stuff too, and we do too at the marina. You know, we get together and do stuff, and we know some people that are less fortunate. We don't mind helping them out, and we do what we can, too. And it's important to remember that is what it's about. Not everybody's in the same position. And, you know, the other thing is that if you've ever been in a tough position, it's nice to have someone reach their hand out and want to help and not look for anything in return and just say, this is what it's about. That's why I thought it was so cool what Dave posted and just said, just the only thing I ask is that if you're in a position to ever do it for somebody else, do it for them. You know, that was a cool thing. And I think you're just like you said, that bicycle and the clothes stuff, it's those little things that it's not a huge $1 million thing. You're not buying someone a car. You're not doing anything crazy. You're really being a human. You're reaching out and interacting with people and saying, I care. You know, this season is about celebrating. This season is about people being together, giving, worrying about other people, taking care of people. And, yeah, there are some presents and there is a tree. There's no doubt about it. But let's really talk about it. It's a season of joy, right?
Yeah.
But it's about joy, friendship, love.
Absolutely, Charlie. When we thought about our subject topic today, I said, you know what, I'm going to make some phone calls and talk to some people and get their opinions, because I believe it's so badly commercialized. And I wanted to get, some people's opinions. So here are some of the opinions.
Okay.
All right. And this was, and it was very impressive, you know, and like Linda and I disagree. Linda says, well, there's peer pressure to do it, and people are comparing. And I said, well, I don't care about that. That's just not me. Of course, I'm like that. But I understand that there is pressure. But watch this.
Right.
I had people talking to me about, like one of a good friend of mine said to me, you know, it just isn't like it used to be. You know, Christmas is about creating a quality memory with your family and friends, doing something special with them, you know, rather than just inundating them with gifts that will be out of their mind in a day or two. That was the key. Those gifts are out of their mind in a day or two, but memories are infinite. I thought that was brilliant.
It is brilliant. It's out of, because it's the sights, smells, sounds, the hugs, kisses, laughter. It's that everyone being together stuff. You're right.
Yeah. I had one person say to me that they've gotten to the point where they don't buy or give gifts anymore. They want to spend quality time, you know, and do something fun with loved ones. I thought that was a great thing. One person said, I believe we've lost what the spirit of Christmas really represents. You know, that was cool, you know. How about this one? This one was a great one. I feel like Christmas has become nothing more than the greatest gimmick for corporations to make millions at the time of the year when it should be focused on the greatest birth ever. I listened to so many of these quotes, and I said, man, this is good stuff. Everybody agrees, but they can't get away from it. I mean, Black Friday, give me a break. You're going to go and stand in line for hours and hours and hours to save $16 on a gift that doesn't matter.
You're right. You're right. When you could be home spending quality time, and this is with people that travel around the country to meet each other and to be with each other, and what do? They go out and they run around like that and don't spend the time they should be with their families and stuff. And you know that one statement that nobody wants to hear is, I wish I had one more minute with that person, or one more day, or I could see him one more time. And this is the stuff that's happening. Yeah, I hear you. And those quotes, that is something. I mean, I'm trying to think if I can figure out who said what, because I don't know who you asked, but that's pretty interesting. And the whole idea, though, you're right. And I'll bet you if you just keep asking people, they're going to say the same thing. You know, it really has. And it's hard to pinpoint it. You know, isn't that the truth? You can see what's going on. And it's all around you. And the idea is supposed to be there. It really is. It's supposed to be there. It's like it's fake. They're almost faking us out that it's there, you know?
Yeah. You know what? That's a great observation. It snuck up on us. I mean, it snuck up over the years. I mean, now, even before Thanksgiving, first of all, I can still remember when they started coming out with Thanksgivings back with a million years ago when my mother was alive. And she said, this is blasphemy. She said, this isn't right.
Right.
And in general, you know, without sounding judgmental, we've lost what Christmas is truly about. We've just lost it. On the whole, the generations, and you get to the Gen Xers and to millennials, they don't understand what we really understood about Christmas. And I hope it can somehow flip-flop.
Turn back around, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what it's going to take, right? It's going to take people like us, people that know what it was and know what it should be. We're going to have to start to do something about it. And if it's not going to Starbucks, we've all got to figure out what it is we're going to do. And we do have to start to show and teach people and put a little bit more pride in how we're representing ourselves to our family and what we're teaching them to follow on with. And those traditions that people do, not let them go by the wayside and get lost, or start new ones that are important, like you said, about giving away some stuff and giving back and gifts and stuff like that. Like that bicycles, that's a great thing. You know, giving clothes and stuff. I love that. You know, maybe that's something that everybody should do. Wouldn't that be a great thing if everybody went on and started to do that to look for someone? I love to talk about a positive revolution, but man, that would be great.
Yeah, you can close, you know, many families, almost so many middle-class households like us can close many families today. They really can. In fact, everything you just said, Charlie, kind of leads in to what I'm going to talk about with the Lone Granger tonight. Now, we don't have Ezekiel to give me the music coming in.
Yeah. We can't get your music, yep.
But what I'm going to talk about with Lone Granger tonight is, and we'll get right into it right now, is countering the commercialization of Christmas, how to counter it. You know,
right.
So let me get into the Lone Granger, and I could go with a dun da dun da dun da dun da dun da dun. Never mind.
All right, that's enough.
Okay, so let's think about how to counter the commercialization of Christmas. Number one.
I'm listening. I love it.
Okay, probably the first step, you know, is actually to pray for guidance in determining a reasonable amount that you should spend for Christmas without being stupid. You know, that's critical. Now, the second step goes right along with the first step is you develop a budget that categorizes the amount of money, and a lot of that money shouldn't be destined just for your family. It should be destined for the needy. All right, step three, obviously, is forget credit cards. How many people go into debt at Christmas time just to prove some kind of a foolish point that people forget about a day or two later? You know, and another step is involve your family in some kind of service, whether it be ministry or purchasing food or toys for needy families, giving to your church. You know, it's so important to try to help meet the needs of others. You know, which means you have to sacrifice. I mean, think about the, you know, the sacrifice that the three kings made when they went to see the great one on his birthday. Come on now.
Sure.
You know, I mean, think about all this stuff. You know, the poorest of the poor in America, you know, are the poorest of the poor are generally wealthier than 75% of the world's population. But we still have to help those poor because they're not meeting the minimum needs that they need or should have in this great country. I don't care. I mean, some people are unemployed.
Yeah.
You know, many people live alone, older people. I mean, you can do so much for people. I was reading this one article that said, my family stopped buying the usual way of gift buying and started making their own gifts for their family and friends. How much better is that? My middle son doesn't buy gifts. You know, for when we do our family, we do a gift exchange, and
sure.
It's kind of like that Chinese gift exchange. It's a lot of fun. He makes everything. And those things are the most wonderful thing because you can't duplicate it. You know,
and it comes from the heart, and there's a lot of thought.
How about this one, Charlie? I was reading this one article that this young boy in Seattle, right,
mm-hmm.
started when he was 10 years old. He started throughout the year, you know, collecting old blankets and clothing and personal hygiene items, you know, that the parents would bring home from hotels and things like this. And then on Christmas Day, he used to go out. Now, this one, he was a kid, and give it to homeless. He would tell his parents that instead of buying him Christmas presents, you know, they could spend the same amount of money to buy food for the homeless. Now, this is what Christmas is. This was a 10-year-old kid. There was an article about him. He's still doing that, and he's 17 now.
Wow.
How awesome. Now, that's Christmas. There's no
that, it sure is. That's the spirit.
Yeah. There's no corporate commercialization there. You know, it was just, I'll tell you, I was so excited when I read that article. You know, we've lost the true meaning of Christmas, but we can get it back. We can get it back by,
you know,
we can. I really think we can, Charlie.
Yeah, I agree, bud. I agree 100%. You know, another way that you can tell that we've lost control of a lot of it and it is being commercialized so much is because if you really look, what you just said and what I just said about my friend Dave with the Christmas tree, and then you talking about it's fabulous. And then this boy gathering stuff and giving things away and giving, you know, stuff Christmas, giving food and stuff to the homeless. I mean, look how great that is. But you know what's crazy? We realize, and we have to open our eyes right now and use this as a point. These are the stories that are being told because they're so odd right now. But everybody loves them, right? Everybody loves them. But it just doesn't happen, and that should make all of us really have one of those aha moments, really make us wake up and make us think what's going on, that we all feel so good about that story, about that boy that's been doing that about your son giving the bicycle, about people giving clothes away, about the acts of charity and the acts of goodwill that people do. Those make it on the news and get shared because it's not the norm anymore. It's so far off base, but yet it's the stories that you see in trending and people talking about them. Millions and millions of people share videos of stuff like that because that's the true things, the meaning. And at heart, the people of America know what's right. They understand it. Once again, the commercialization is starting to take away from that slowly but surely. And how about that? If we thought about those stories, how about every time? Here's a great one to think about. How about every time you hear a story like that, we should all go out and try to remember that story and do something, even if it's not to duplicate it, but to follow in the footsteps of that person that gave a story that you were able to see that made you feel good?
Yeah.
Don't you want to pay that forward and do it for something? Wouldn't that be awesome? We hear that story. Let's go out and do something because you know what? Maybe our story of what we do, maybe it will, maybe it won't. And it's not about doing it for any recognition, but what if it was something that touched someone else and made them move forward?
That's right.
And then so on and so on. And that's how we have to really think about it, is that those people that are doing those things, that are doing the stuff to celebrate what it's about, to share the joy, the spirit, the giving of Christmas, to talk about it and to act on it and to make us feel good because we found out about it. Boy, we should really, really recognize it. That's truly what this is about, and how do we get back to that? I love that you brought that up, Bob. Thank you.
Well, you know, Charlie, it's interesting. You know, I believe that we've lost the true meaning of Christmas. I think most people have fallen into the corporate gift-buying trap. Now, there's nothing wrong with buying gifts. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But why are you buying the gift? Are you buying the gift to impress someone, or are you buying the gift because you think it's going to bring a smile to someone's face? You know, that's the thing. You keep this thing simple. It's not in the gift. It's the thought. You know, all right, Charlie, I'll get off my soapbox and stop preaching. But you know how I am with lecturing, Charlie. I get in these lecturing modes. You know, the poor audiences tonight saying, oh, my God, you're killing me tonight, you know.
I don't think they're saying that. I think maybe they're starting to get the idea that we're both wound up about it. We're wound up the idea that we want things to be happier, better. We want people to understand there's more to Christmas than going out and spending all this money on gifts and doing things that don't matter. Like you said, hours later, I think everybody's going to get that point. And some people might not. They might be upset. And if we get some hate mail about it, that could happen too.
That's showbiz. You know, I think one of the most important things about this time of the year, Charlie, is, you know, loneliness is pretty devastating, you know, on a daily basis, with especially with older people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll be at home. You know, all of us have aunts and uncles that are older that we know we should be going and visiting, and we need to do that because this time of the year, because they're older, they might be a little bit depressed. Better way for a family to show the love to that person than to go provide some comfort and fellowship and, you know, because they might be alone this Christmas. Go and see them. Go visit somebody. Now, that's a real gift. You know, that's that memory that's infinite, that'll last forever with that person and give them a smile that they'll carry throughout, maybe the wintertime, thinking back about that. That's what Christmas is.
You're right. It'll make them feel good, and that's another easy way to go ahead and just spread the joy, the spirit, the idea of what Christmas is. And it's so simple to be able to do that. You're right. You're 100% right, Bob. It's just something that we just have to start people doing it. We just have to start, all of us, one at a time, just have to start to pick out. Now, it's not easy at times, but I believe you're 100% right. We have to decide to make a difference, because if not us, who then? Who will go ahead and do this if we don't talk about it, if we don't start to realize it? Sometimes it's just that waking up, and you're right. You could start, it could be just as simple as going to someone in your family that's in a tough position for whatever reason, because they are lonely, because they're not happy, something's not going their way, or they're not coming to meet everybody for holiday things and stuff, and reaching out and trying to have them make sure they're a part of everything that's going on. That's a nice way to think about it.
I agree, Charlie. One of the biggest things I think we all need to be aware of, we need to be the proper example. In other words, people are going to do what we do. They're not going to do what we say. So
right.
by doing it that way, my gosh, people, it's infectious. It's viral.
Yeah.
If they look at you and you're doing something a little bit different, you're giving clothes to the Salvation Army, to your church, and really celebrating Christmas the way it should be, you know, that's the way I believe it should be. I'd like to see it get back to how it used to be a million years ago when I was young. And, you know, Charlie, what else? Do you have anything to wrap it up? And then I'll close it up tonight. And, you know, we'll wait for the wrath of Dave and see how he likes our show. Of course, then again, it's not recorded, and so we're safe, Charlie. We're okay.
Unless he's got a spy on here. But, you know, I think we really covered the idea of what we wanted to do, pal, was to talk about just in general. And I really thought it was amazing that we were both on the same page with talking about the idea of the holiday, talking about Merry Christmas, talking about the joy, the love, peace, love, and joy, right? What we're celebrating, what we're talking about, what it's about. Get with your family. Get with your loved ones. It's not about the biggest, most expensive gift. It's not about the most gifts. It's about the time, the quality time. It's about getting with people that are less fortunate, taking care of them, reaching out, doing those things, doing and duplicating or replicating those incredible stories that make us all go, wow, that was amazing. It's about doing that stuff. And I agree with you, pal. It just sits so fresh and good with me right now that I wanted to just say it out loud like that, because I really feel I'm going to go out tomorrow and I'm going to start on it harder than I ever have to make sure that I'm making a difference and that I'm going to follow in what the feeling is and what we're celebrating and what Christmas is about. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to start to make a difference. That's my promise to you, my friend. I'm going to start tomorrow. I'm going to go out and start to make a difference and start to turn this holiday season, Christmas, into what it is. I'm going to try to make sure I spread as much joy as I can and help as many people as I can. I'm going to do that, buddy. I promise. Thank you for talking to me about it, because I hope everybody got something like I did out of it tonight.
Well, Charlie, you know, it's interesting that you just said that, because in everything we've been talking about tonight, I'm thinking I need to learn from this and I need to do the proper lead. And in closing tonight, I just want to, obviously, we always love to thank all of our listeners.
Yeah.
With Dave away this week, you know, we wanted to make sure our show quality did not tank, and so we hope everybody enjoyed it. This week, we did it this week instead of a couple weeks from now. And so if there was anything that we said, because once again, with our show, Two Black Sheep Radio, our goal is to make a difference for just one person. And if we can do that over and over and over again, we feel that we're going to be successful. That's why we decided to talk about the commercialization of Christmas 2 weeks ahead of Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and last, don't forget to everyone that's listening, to make sure that you signed up for Club Black Sheep. We're going to have some fun things coming up on Club Black Sheep and some knowledgeable things. I think you're going to like it. It's going to be very cool. And once again, I just want to thank everybody so much. God bless everybody out there. Merry Christmas. And I just want to say good night to all and hope you enjoyed the show this evening. Good night, everybody.